Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
At our church, we have people repeat a prayer who want to place their faith in Christ.
Jesus did all the hard part. He did everything but pray your prayer.
I'm going to ask you just to pray with me right now. Just say these words with me.
You can say those words every day for the rest of your life and die and be separated from God.
The scripture does not say that Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel and said that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, who would like to ask me into their hearts?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this show.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. So grateful you just keep sending wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org, or you send questions, comments, conundrum, snarks to 877-282-2337. To the mailbag we go from Johnny Gravina. I'm sorry.
What?
That's your job. But I just got an email.
Okay.
And I got to share it because it's encouraging.
Okay.
If you see the church in America weakening because, well, on the surface, it is. I just read a statistic. 1,500 pastors a month are dropping out. That's just crazy. The current pressures, the what they're feeling from culture, from inside of the church, 1,500 of them have said adios this month alone. You should be encouraged by this. This is the Masters Academy International in Italy, specifically in the belly of the Roman Catholic beast in Rome. The Masters Academy International, men from foreign countries, they get trained at the Master Seminary in Los Angeles, 3-4 years. They go back home, and what do? They take their education with them, and they train other indigenous pastors. And so, if you will, there are many seminaries around the globe, including in Rome. Let's remember, the Lord keeps building his church. So I literally just received this from Johnny Gravino, who's at the Italian Theological Academy. Now, this is what we're up to in the next few months. Shepherding Shepherds, to launch a series of free online seminars. This will provide the opportunity to engage with pastors and grasp the challenges they face in a country like Italy. Counseling conference in late May. They're bringing in a biblical counselor. We'll address practical subjects like anger, fear, depression. In other words, pastors from all over Italy, and there are some, they come to these conferences. They get trained at this little mini seminary, and then they go back out with biblical counseling. How cool is that? Evangelism and apologetics. Biblical studies certificate. They're doing translation work. Translating. Oh, this is cool. He Will Reign Forever. Michael Vlock. He's a great theologian. They're translate. Oh, Preparing for Eternity. Mike Gendron. And his bag is actually a critique of the Roman Catholic Church. Counseling by John MacArthur. In other words, there's just a lot of stuff going on overseas. And I bring it up to encourage you and perhaps encourage you to support the Masters Academy International. They're having an impact. You can support pastors internationally. We're going to be doing another Bible distribution program. Can't wait. We sent 10,000 Bibles to the Philippines. We're going to be sending more to an undisclosed part of the world at the moment. All of that with the Masters Academy International. Learn more at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
All right. Well, this first question.
What?
What?
I just was wondering if you were going to get your cue there because I stepped all over you.
That's okay. I took it. This is from Jacqueline. Todd, at my workplace, as in many other workplaces, there are people who curse and worse yet take the Lord's name in vain. Uh-huh. When they do, it really bothers me, but I'm really not sure what I can do. How do I react to that?
Yeah, and the you're not going to feel very satisfied. It depends. It really depends. It depends on your position. It depends on how precarious your position is. It depends on your understanding of what your relationship is with your employer and your fellow workers. Is a Christian sinning by not correcting blasphemy? I don't think so. Could you? Yes, you could. How might you do that? You could simply address the people that are doing it individually. Hey, friend, first of all, this should always be established with a great relationship. You're the go-to employee. You're the best one. You've always got people. You're the one who brings in a treat. You're the thoughtful one. To be able then to say to a fellow employee, would you mind, you probably don't even know that you do this, but I believe in God. And when you use his name like that, it just really, would you be maybe work on cutting that out of your vernacular? Because it's kind of, it's really hard for me to hear. Thanks a bunch. Here's another cupcake. That's how I'd be inclined to deal with it, because I get it. In fact, we were just talking about this the other day here. We live a very sheltered existence here at the ministry, because you don't have that going on here. You don't have the swear word, the F-bomb dropped so into, I just, okay. So here's how I feel the pain. Mrs. Friel and I are out for a walk. We bump into a couple, probably stop to talk to them because they have a dog, because we're those people who will pet your dog whether you want us to or not. And either the man or the woman, they drop the F-bomb. Huh? We're strangers. What do you... There's a lady right here. There's a... standing next to me. How do you... And there have been times when I've thought about saying something. Is that a hill to die on? In those types of interactions, no. But will I grab my wife and skedaddle as fast as possible? Absolutely. And if for some reason we were stuck in the conversation, and I've done this before. I remember there was a waiter once. Nice guy. At a barbecue place. Jimmy, at that place, you actually think has good barbecue.
Ribs.
Okay. All right.
Ribs.
Barbecue purist. Snob.
Exactly.
The guy was, you know, we're engaging the waits. We always do that. And this young man was just like dropping them all over the place. And I just said, dude, come here. Hey, could you clean up your mouth a little bit? Oh, yeah. Sorry, man. So there are times when I think it's appropriate. I think it's a subjective sort of affair. But if it's your conscience that's really troubling you, and if it becomes so unbearable, if you can't get it addressed one-on-one, if you can't get it addressed through HR, which you should be able to do, you could consider that to be a hostile work environment. That always gets their legal attention. There might be a time, and now I'm just going to pull this back a little bit when it comes to employment scenarios, when you actually have to leave. There might be a culture that is seeping into your pores so persistently that it's actually affecting your walk. And this needs to be done, making this decision about leaving, I think, with other people, not just your family, but others at your church. But here's the rule for employment. If at the very least, the dynamic between you, the believer, and the fellow workers who are unbelievers isn't neutral at best. In other words, if they're affecting you more than you're affecting them, that might be grounds for you to leave. Now, I would encourage you to shore up some things before you make that decision quickly. Changing jobs is not a small thing. How are you doing? How's your strength? Are you feeding yourself spiritually? Are you partaking of the means of grace? Get that shorn up, because maybe it's not your job as much as your walk that needs some aiding. So examine that and then ask yourself the question, are they changing me? Am I starting to swear? Am I starting to blaspheme? Am I starting to think lowly thoughts? Am I willing to kind of let some stuff? Then, that might be a reason for you to consider where it is that you're working. Yep, your walk is more important than your job. Idea@wretched.org.
All right, this next question is about work as well. This is from Barbara. Todd, how should married Christians handle work meetings with the opposite sex? Especially lunch meetings that are one-on-one specifically. It seems no one is bothered by these meetings, but my husband and I are. But we do feel stuck, since it's sort of what's typical and expected.
Yep. So now you have got pressure from your employer to have that meeting, to go out to lunch with. You're in sales. There you are in a restaurant with somebody the opposite gender. What do you do? I would press toward being more conservative than less. more concerned than not. Why do I say not totally? Because I think that there might be some dynamics that can be considered where it would be okay. Not all of them by any means, not anywhere near all of them. But you do need to ask the question in this context, what are people going to perceive? Furthermore, you need to consider danger. And I'm not talking about the male or the female gender. It goes both ways these days, that an accusation could be made. And if you don't have somebody there, you're in trouble. So wisdom, I think, demands we're mindful of this. And we do everything we can to get out of those one-on-one opposite gender. Is it sex, gender, whatever, pink and blue, that you strive to not find yourself in those situations. So just practically, just bring somebody in with you. It doesn't matter what gender, as long as there's three there and not two. Bring somebody along. Bring the assistant. Bring a fellow employee. Make sure that it's in a glass office where people can actually see it. Keep the door open. If you don't mind, could we keep that door open? Thank you. And when, if you have to go out, it's a sales call and you're meeting with a client. I think that there might be a little flex there, not because you are not sinning. It's a wisdom issue. That's what this is. It's a wisdom issue. I don't think we can make a law where there is no law. But do everything you can to be mindful of your reputation and be wise for the sake even of personal safety. Yeah, applying that ain't easy, is it? This is Wretched Radio. Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. Wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. Wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, being a part of the Wretched family, without even realizing it, you have become an unofficial encourager. We want to talk about upgrading that role from encourager to actually a frontline partner. Think about it. Imagine with your support, we could reach millions all over the world with the life-changing gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched.org/donate. That's where you'll find all of the answers to all of the questions that you possibly would ever have. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Have you ever wondered how you can share a little hope with the world? What time is purple is more than just a question, and it's yours to give absolutely free. For our international family, we're ready to ship pallets or half pallets directly to you. You just have to make sure your pre-orders are in by April 1st. And for our domestic listeners, from cases to full pallets, you can order now at wretched.org/purple while supplies last. Let's cover the world in purple together again.
Important dates in Christian history. 64 AD. After fire ravages Rome,
Emperor Nero blames Christians and unleashes the first state-sanctioned persecution of Christians. Roman persecution would continue for 250 years until Emperor Constantine officially recognized and defended Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yes?
Watch this. This is Wretched Radio. I'm so pleased with myself already. Discussing the dynamics of opposite genders in the workplace. How do you deal with that when it's one-on-one? It was just last week. I don't know if you heard about this, Jimmy. There was a woman here at the ministry that was really instrumental in us finding a new 3PL. A distribution center.
Oh, really?
And wanted her to check it out. But then we also wanted a male at the office to go. But immediately, all three of us, so the male and the female that had to go to this 3PL to check it out, mm-hmm. we went, uh-oh. So we had a third person come.
Right.
You know who I'm talking about, by the way?
Who?
Your wife.
Yes,
I know. Silly rabbit. Now, here's the seamless tapestry that I'm so pleased with myself about. Do you know what that 3PL is going to be warehousing for us, Jimmy?
What's that?
You know the answer to that question. What time is purple? That's right. Silly rabbit, this is the first day that we are announcing the return of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? You have already given away a million copies. We did it, I think, about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. It's a really powerful evangelistic booklet. It's really well done. There are illustrations, and it just has been very impactful in distributing this distributing
potato potato
whatever distributing this booklet to people who are getting saved from it. And we've given away a million copies together. We'll send them to you for free. So it's the return of purple. They're going to be stored in our new 3PL, not too far from us here, and we will send them to you even if you are not in America. This is the first time that we've done this. We're going to have these printed on April 5th. In the meantime, if you are a ministry, you're a church, you're an individual who can give away this gospel booklet, we will send it to you wherever you are. It is in English, so obviously you want to make sure that the people you give it to are English speakers. So if you're in a country where that is a language that most people speak, we'll send it to you. I'm not kidding. We'll send you a half a pallet, it's about 5,000 copies, or a full pallet, 10,000 copies. Now, here's the only string. You have to promise to give them away. You do that, we'll send them to you. And that means shipping. That means ground transportation from the port to your person. You'll get them at your church or at your ministry or at your home. The ministry, this ministry, pays for that. Why? Well, that's what we do. We want the gospel to go forward. And this is the first time we've been able to do it internationally, but you got to do it now. Order them now, wretched.org/purple, because after we ship them from printing, then we're only going to be doing this distribution in the U.S. of A. So whether you are in America, you're outside of America, order now. Thousands of people have participated in this. In fact, how many thousands of people, Todd?
How many thousands?
Thank you. Too late for that. At least 8,000 people have given away the booklets that we provided. It's been What Time is Purple? It was Solving the God Puzzle. It was The Biggest Question. Well, we've given away 3 million gospel booklets and DVDs. And when I say we, I mean you and us, because you're the hands and feet that give them away. So if you would like purple, please visit wretched.org/purple. Pre-order, you'll probably get them. And maybe late April, May, you'll be receiving them. Give them away around the globe. See what I did there, Jimmy?
I do.
I just, from the
thing to the
dynamic to the deal that we wanted. I'm really excited about purple. And I'm so excited that we get to do this internationally. I don't know why. I can't tell you why, but it's just, it's nice knowing that there's a global church out there of people who want to see other people enjoy the love of God in Christ Jesus. Wretched.org/purple, and keep sending stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this question is from Laura. Todd, I'm engaged to a Christian man, but I earn about double what he does. When talking about things in the future, he's not very open to the idea of staying home and raising our kids.
Right.
He believes it's the man's role to provide.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any biblical basis for the man being the breadwinner?
Yes. Here's that you. This is peer pressure. This is worldly pressure. I totally get it. So you've got the woman who biblically is the home. The man historically and biblically work. Now that doesn't mean that there's no intersection. It doesn't mean that there isn't any overlap. That used to be much more the case. Was just reading Nancy Piercy again. In an article just talking about how men are so degraded in our society. And talking, she used an example of like some six-year-old kid at the school was considered toxic because of what he said. And it's like a six-year-old boy is now a toxic male. How did this happen? Well, now for two centuries, we've been moving toward a dynamic inside of the family that has caused a diminishing of the appreciation for the masculine contribution to the home. It's interesting. Do you know who in the largest hurdle for the suffragette movement was when it came to giving the woman the vote? It wasn't men who were opposed to that as much as women. Wait, what? Why would women want women? Because they saw that it has a dynamic. And then it changes the family structure to a more autonomous type of dynamic. In other words, when it used to be, now, look, I'm not saying right, wrong, or indifferent. We're just citing history here. The man voted basically for the wife and the kids as a federal head of the family, representing the family. Now, husband and wife can vote. The teenagers that are 18, they can vote. So everybody can vote any way that they want to. And they identified, hey, that's not the best glue for society. Autonomy is not nearly as crucial for societal flourishing as family. And since the Industrial Revolution, we'll call it 1700s, into the 1800s, even into the early 1900s, as the Industrial Revolution took men out of the home, the view of man has increasingly been diminished. We don't need husbands. Our kids don't need fathers. Are you kidding me? Just turn that around. Our kids don't need mothers. They don't need women. And they're just absolutely ridiculous. But that is the zeitgeist of our society. So we need to feel that. Furthermore, there's other pressures that are involved. We'll move it away from this particular couple. The woman, she has a double degree. She's master's in whatever it is. And he's not. And she put in more time, but maybe accrued more student debt and has the ability to be a high income earner versus him. What do you do with that? And the answer is we need to recognize we all feel that. And just to say, well, doesn't matter, Genesis 2. We got to be, I think, a little bit more thoughtful than that. It's like, yeah, they could have more stuff. So how do we flip the coin on this? And the answer is, as it always is, the Bible. And so we see in the Bible right away in Genesis chapter 2, you've got a hard one, you've got a soft one. The man is the muscular one, the strong one, the laborer one. The woman is the nurturer. And we see that when God describes the effects of the fall. Sir, you're going to work in its thorns and thistles. Madam, you're going to be having power struggles in the home because you're not going to want to play that role. We see that dynamic set up immediately. And then we see that in Jewish society, all throughout the Bible. Now, was there abuse in it? Yes, there were bad patriarchal dudes who used their authority as the spiritual head to be, well, abusive in whatever manifestation that presented itself. Yeah, they were abusive, right? But the biblical pattern that we see established is dad typically is the one who protects and provides. Doesn't mean the woman doesn't work. Proverbs 31 makes that clear. See, that's the problem with living in the society that we're in and the way that industry works. We have to go out there. Before it used to be, we're in here together as a family. We're running the family farm, the family industry, the family shop. We're doing this together. So dad was taking care of the kids and working. Mom was taking care of the kids and working. And there was probably a little bit more of a balance, but it still tipped toward the woman being the nurturer. We see that in Titus chapter 2. And we see that men are the ones in 1 Peter 2 who put their armor on the woman in a protective stance. We've got roles and they've been defined by God. And we need to submit to those. And to do it coldly, I think, is to not be very thoughtful or at least pastoral. To recognize, yeah, that is a sacrifice. You're right. But here's the promise. When we do things God's way, He blesses that. And it might not be with more square footage. It might not be with fancier food or luxury trips. But He'll bless you in more profound ways. In fact, I would even suggest to you, when you have the opportunity to make more and you say, we're going to reject that because we've got to do this God's way, I think that there's eternal rewards that are being stored up for you because you're showing yourself to say, I'm not going to listen to society bark. I'm not going to listen to my personal preferences. I'm going to submit to the Lord because He's already made this decision and it will always be best. Your family will flourish more when you do it God's way, guaranteed. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.